Thanks be to God. Thanks, Holly, for that reading. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Welcome to Cross Life Church. My name is Michael. I'm one of the pastors here, and it's great to see you online as well, if you're joining us there. I'm going to be speaking from that passage that Holly just read for us. And like you guys know, there will be a Slido for questions throughout the talk, and that number will be kind of at the bottom of each slide. Today's sermon is entitled Receiving the Word. When Paul, Silas, and Timothy came to the Thessalonian church, they had a message that they preached. We're going to see today how the Thessalonians received it, and therefore we're going to see how we should receive it too. So I'm going to pray as we head into God's word, so please join with me as we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you that it shows us the Thessalonian church. Thank you that we see how they responded to the word. Thank you that we get to see how they endured in their faith as well. And Lord, we pray that we may follow them as they follow Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Some people, they like to read the Bible like a self-help book. And so when they read the Bible, they open up the Bible and they're looking for inspirational quotes that help them to feel better about themselves and to face the world. Some people, on the other hand, they'll read the Bible like a historical document. They'll open the Bible and they're looking for details about events and culture of the past so that they can construct a picture of what life was like then. Or maybe they're looking at the Bible as a historical document to see whether the Bible is actually historically true. Some people read the Bible like a book on ethics. So they open the Bible and what they're looking for are rules to live their lives by, commands to follow, how to be a good moral person. And some people, on the other hand, they read the Bible like a storybook. They open the Bible and they love the stories. Maybe the parables with good morals at the end. Maybe the drama of a story like David and Goliath or the great miracles when Moses brought the Israelites out of Egypt. All of these people would say that they read the Bible. And most of them would probably say also that they believe the Bible. But I want to say to you that none of those ways of reading the Bible are actually distinctly Christian ways of reading the Bible. You see, a non-Christian could read the Bible like a self-help book, a historical document, a book on ethics, or a storybook. And in fact, many non-Christians do. But it doesn't actually save them. It doesn't actually help their relationship with God. It's not to say that we can't get inspirational help from the Bible. We can't get historical details or good stories or good ethics. But there's something different about a Christian way of reading the Bible. And so what we're going to see today is that when the message of Jesus came to the Thessalonian church, they had a distinctly Christian response, and their distinctly Christian response was that they accepted the Bible as the Word of God. Now, the Bible wasn't around at their time, but it was the apostolic testimony of Jesus that they received, and that's what we've got in our Bibles, and that's what made the Thessalonians Christian. We're also going to see that receiving the word in that way got them into a lot of trouble, but it didn't get them into as much trouble as not receiving it. And so those are our 3 points today. For the last few weeks, we've been focusing on Paul in 1 Thessalonians and the way that Paul preaches the gospel. We've been seeing his non-verbal communication of the gospel, his strong sense of calling, his integrity, his motives, the way that he treated the Thessalonians like a spiritual parent, sharing his life with them and also directing them. But today we're going to go to the flip side of that relationship and we're going to see how the Thessalonians responded to that. And what we see from verse 13 is that the Thessalonians received the word of God as the word of God. And so you see that in verse 13 where it says, "And we also thank God continually because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it actually is the word of God, which is at work in you who believe." Now, the background of what actually happened here, what Paul is talking about here, was fairly simple. We read about it in Acts chapter 17. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, they came into Thessalonica, the city of the Thessalonians. They went into the Jewish synagogue, the place where the Jews usually gathered to worship. They made their case. All the promises of the Jews in the Old Testament are fulfilled by Jesus. Jesus was God's chosen king over the entire universe. He's the Messiah. And therefore, the whole universe has been made to serve and follow Jesus. They said that. No miracles, no tricks, no marketing ploys. There were just 3 people speaking about Jesus with complete integrity and loving the Thessalonians as they spoke to them. It was just words, really. But those words had a huge impact on the Thessalonians. From verse 13 here, we see that their response, the response that Paul thanks God for, is that they accepted their words as the word of God, not the word of men. And I think it's important to just sit here a little bit and just dwell a little bit on what that actually means. Because when you think about our world and all the knowledge that we get in our world, most of the knowledge that we have in our world is just the word of men. It's the result of investigations and interpretations and presentations of information that are done by human beings. And because that is the case, our human knowledge is not 100% reliable because human beings are not 100% reliable. We know this. We don't know everything. We are limited in our understanding. We make mistakes. And even some of the disciplines that we usually accept as just absolute truth, they make mistakes. You know, newspapers, they have to retract articles and issue corrections to them day after day. Scientific and medical journals will publish a new discovery one day that corrects what everyone thought was right for decades or even centuries. Now, if you are especially suspicious or cynical like me, you might also say that this human knowledge is even less reliable because humans often come with agendas and biases. And a lot of their investigations are done just to confirm those biases. And so when you think about a world like that, a world where not all our knowledge is 100% reliable, it kind of makes sense to question, doesn't it? It makes sense to have a skeptical and critical eye and to investigate opposing viewpoints and weigh them up to see if what people are saying is actually the truth. Because we live in a world of the words of men. But the Thessalonian church, when the message of Jesus came to them, they saw another world. They saw a different world. They saw a world of the Word of God. And the message that Paul and his companions gave to the Thessalonians, they saw that the message of Jesus belonged in that world, different from the world of the words of men. For the Thessalonians, the Word of God was not open to question. It was not open to criticism. In their eyes, if Jesus said something and you disagreed with it, there was no court of appeal. You were just wrong. And Jesus is just right. And that is the end of the story. And that is the attitude that they took to the message of Jesus. And that's the attitude that Christians today take to the whole Bible. The words of the apostles and prophets who were sent by God. We believe that this book, the Bible, has supreme authority in our lives. Because it is not the word of men, but the word of God. And once you phrase it that way, you start to realize how nuts that sounds to the society around us, doesn't it? Now, our society will say, question everything. But Christians say there is one thing that cannot be questioned. They'll say, you've got to listen to the other voices as well in the debate. But Christians will say, no, we have heard the voice of God. And if God says something on an issue, we don't need to hear anything else. They'll say, we are all on our own journey to discover the truth. But Christians will say, no, we have actually arrived at the truth. And all those things are going to sound completely insane to the world. And they might be insane. Or on the other hand, they might be the only sensible thing to do. You know, it just depends on whether there's a God or not, doesn't it? On whether God speaks through the Bible or not. Now look at verse 13 again when Paul says, and we also thank God continually because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it actually is the word of God, which is at work in you who believe. Notice the way that Paul phrases it. He's basically saying just when you heard the word of God, you accepted it as the word of God. You know, that's just what it is. You know, Paul presents it like it's just the most natural, sensible thing to accept the word of God as the word of God. It's the people who treat the word of God like the words of men that are the ones who are crazy. Now, Ken Olson, the founder of Digital Equipment Corp, said in 1972, there is no reason anyone would want a computer in their home. Edwin L. Drake was the first American to successfully drill for oil, but when he went out to hire workers, the workers said to him, "Drill for oil? You mean drill into the ground to try and find oil? You're crazy." You know, people will say things that seem completely sensible in one world that are completely ridiculous in another world. And treating the Bible as the Word of God might make absolutely no sense in this world, but it makes complete sense in God's world. So where do you stand with this? When you come to read the Bible or hear the words of the Bible, whether that's when you're reading by yourself or when you come to church or when you're meeting someone else to open up the Bible, or even when you think about reading the Bible, do you believe that this is the Word of God? Do you believe that this book comes with God's full authority and that God is speaking straight to you? When you receive the words of this book, is your response unique compared to the way that you read anything else? Or is your response to squirm away from what this book has to say, to try and question what God has to say, argue against having to do what God tells you to do? Or is your response to obey what God says and love what God says and try and live what God says out as much as you humanly can? Because if you do, that is very, very different from treating the Bible like a self-help book or a history book or an ethics book or a story book. It's receiving the Word of God as the Word of God. But receiving the Word of God in this world will not always be easy. It will get you into trouble. And we see the kind of trouble that the Thessalonians got into in verses 14 to 16. "For you, brothers, became imitators of God's churches in Judea, which are in Christ Jesus. You suffered from your own countrymen the same things those churches suffered from the Jews, who killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets and also drove us out. They displease God and are hostile to all men in their effort to keep us from speaking to the Gentiles so that they may be saved." If you've got a Bible in front of you, I want you to just kind of flick back a little bit into verse 13, the end of verse 13. And I want you to see how it links into verse 14. Paul talks about the Word of God, which is at work in you who believed, "for you, brothers, became imitators of God's churches in Judea, which are in Christ Jesus. You suffered from your own countrymen." Paul says that the Word of God was at work in the Thessalonians. But how was the Word of God at work? How did they know? They knew because the Thessalonian church imitated the churches in Judea. How did they imitate the churches in Judea? By suffering persecution from the Jews. You see, one of the signs that God's word is at work in someone is that they get opposed by people who don't believe it. And Paul, he would have known a lot about Jewish persecution. He would have known it very well. He received it in Thessalonica and elsewhere, but he was also on the other side of the equation as well, wasn't he? Before he became a Christian, he also inflicted it. He knew what their motives were. He knew what they do. Verse 15, it says, they killed Jesus and the prophets. They don't like hearing God's word when it comes to them. He knows their motives as well because he once had those motives. Verse 16, they want to stop people being saved. And so they want to stop the good news about Jesus going to the Gentiles. And that's why in the second half of verse 15, Paul says that they displease God and are hostile to all men. You see, wanting to stop someone being saved by Jesus is like the absolute worst thing you can do. You want that, then no matter how much you say you love people, you're hostile to them. But the reason that Paul is writing all this to the Thessalonians is not to diss Jews. It's to keep the Thessalonians going. He's trying to say to them that this kind of opposition that they are facing, it's completely normal. You know, these guys, they killed Jesus, they killed the prophets, they persecuted the churches in Judea. And now you've become Christians. Well, you have joined Jesus and you've joined the prophets and you've joined the churches in Judea. So it is an expectation that they're going to persecute you too. But he's also saying, look, if that is normal, then that might actually be a good thing because it means that you're not alone. It means that there are people who are like you. There are people who stand with you. Not the least of whom is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's reassuring, isn't it? Now, when you feel weird or strange, or whether it's as a Christian or as kind of being someone else in this world, if you feel weird or strange, it's helpful to know that you're not the only one, to be able to have some sort of solidarity with people who are like you. You know, do you ever have that feeling of agreement or relief when you meet someone or you read someone on the internet or you hear someone say something and they are saying exactly what you are thinking? Or they're saying just what you wish that you could say. They're expressing an opinion that you completely agree with. That's how communities form, isn't it? Around like-minded people. I've heard this with kind of people just talking about random things on the train that I couldn't help but kind of agree with. I read stuff on the internet. I talk with people as well. I find friends. And Paul is saying here to the Thessalonians that these people who persecute you, the people who are going to try and make you feel like you're weird, they're going to try and make you feel like you're alone. But you're not alone. You're part of this big community that has existed ever since the time of Jesus. And that means that you're accepted as well by Jesus himself. And I think that's an encouragement to us as well. There are voices in our current culture that will try and make us feel like we are old-fashioned. That what we believe and the things that we love are something that the world has moved on from and that we are on the wrong side of history. Basically, they're trying to make us feel like we are weird and alone. But we are not. And maybe you feel that sometimes as well. Maybe you feel that not aloneness, that solidarity with others. Maybe when you see a cross around someone else's neck and it turns out that they're wearing it actually because they are Christian. Maybe when you see a fish on the back of a car window. Maybe when you find a Christian group on the internet that shares your thoughts and your beliefs and your humour. See, people opposing Christians today, it's not unprecedented. It's not special. It's normal. It's been happening since the death of Jesus. And God's word is at work in his people when they endure it, just like with the Thessalonians. Receiving God's word is going to get you into trouble. But even though it will get you into trouble, it won't get you into as much trouble as not receiving God's word. And that's what we see in the rest of verse 16, when Paul says, "In this way they always heap up their sins to the limit. The wrath of God has come upon them at last." Now, remember, Paul is talking about Jewish people here. And so this might seem really, really harsh. You know, it might seem like Paul is ranting a bit. It might seem very anti-Semitic. You know, Paul hates all Jews or something. Paul is racist. And sadly, kind of, there are Christians in history who have taken this anti-Jewish sentiment in the Bible as an excuse to hate Jews for crucifying Jesus. But that's not actually what this is about. The Bible doesn't do that. Remember, Paul is a Jew himself. And so while he's talking about some Jews here, he's not talking about all Jews. He's definitely not talking about the churches in Judea. There were Jewish Christians who were persecuted. The people who are being condemned here are not being condemned because of their race. They're being condemned because they have done horrible things to God and his people. And also remember, it's not Paul condemning them. It's God with Paul just passing on the message. And so what does Paul actually say about these people who persecute God's people? Well, Paul says first that they heap up their sins to the limit. Now, what does that mean? Well, it's actually an expression from the Old Testament. It's the idea that when it comes to punishing evil, what God sometimes does is he waits until someone's sin reaches its maximum point before punishing them. God did this to the people who were inhabiting the land that he promised to Israel, the land that he brought Moses and the Israelites out of Egypt to inherit. And so that's what Paul is talking about there. And then when Paul says, when the wrath of God has come upon them at last, he's basically saying, look, this time has now come for them. But what kind of wrath is he talking about? Often when we talk about God's wrath, we're talking about the wrath when Jesus returns, when Jesus finally returns and God brings complete justice to the world. But that doesn't quite gel with verse 16 here, because Paul seems to be talking here about something that's happening right there and then in his time about God's wrath on them. It's kind of convenient that around the time of writing of 1 Thessalonians, the Roman Emperor Claudius had expelled all of the Jews from Rome. Jews were being persecuted by Rome as well as Christians. And Paul could have seen, I think, that part of God's punishment on them for persecuting Christians. And I think there's an important lesson for us to take away from this, is that God does punish people at the very end, but God also does it in the present. The French philosopher Voltaire, a person who was distinctly, famously anti-Christian, he said, 100 years from my day, there will not be a Bible on earth except one that is looked on by an antiquarian curiosity seeker. Within 50 years of Voltaire's death, the house that he lived in Geneva was bought by a Christian, and the room where his plays were acted out was converted into a storeroom for Bibles and gospel tracts. There's also a story from Brazil where a car full of people, young people who were drunk, they were going out to a party. The mother of one of these girls was worried, and she knew that she wouldn't be able to persuade her daughter out of it. And so what she did instead was she spoke a prayer, a blessing from God on her daughter and her friends as they went out in this car. She said, "My daughter, go with God and may he protect you." The girl replied, "Only if God travels in the trunk, because inside here it's already full." Hours later, that car was involved in a fatal car accident. Everyone inside the car died. The trunk of the car, however, was intact. Inside it was a crate of eggs, and none of them were broken. See, the Bible says that pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall, Proverbs 16-18. God will not be mocked. And so if you're not right with God, right now would be a good time to get right with him. Right? Confess your sins to God. Thank God that he sent Jesus to die for you, and turn away from a life without God. Learn from Jesus and follow him. Because you might be living the way that you're living now and thinking to yourself, well, like, you know, things have gone okay so far. I haven't been punished by God yet. Maybe that's a good sign. Maybe it's also, though, because you haven't yet heaped up your sins to the limit. Now is the time to turn to Jesus. Because receiving the word will get you into trouble, but not as much trouble as not receiving it. Some people read the Bible like a self-help book. Some people read the Bible like a historical document. Some people read the Bible like a book on ethics. Some people read the Bible like a storybook. Christians, though, read the Bible like something more. They read it not as the word of men, but as the word of God. The Bible is in a completely different world for Christians. Is that how you see the Bible? Because if you do, it will cause other people to not like you. It will cause you trouble. People are going to be uneasy, offended, and even angry that you don't follow what they follow, because the things that you worship are going to threaten the idols that they worship. Can you put up with that? And does it help you, maybe, to know that there are millions of brothers and sisters in Christ throughout history, and even right now, who are going through the same kind of thing? In any case, be relieved that even though receiving the word might cause you trouble in this world, it's not nearly as much trouble as not receiving. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Thessalonians. Thank you that when the word of God came to them, they accepted it as what it actually was, the word of God. Thank you that they saw that it inhabited a different world from the world of the knowledge of men. Lord, we pray that we might have that same attitude as well. Please help us to be people who see that this word occupies a wholly different world that is not open to question or criticism because it comes from you. Lord, we pray that therefore our response may be to trust you and obey you. And Lord, we pray that when trouble comes as a result of that attitude to your word, please help us to bear up under it. Please help us to know that solidarity with brothers and sisters in Christ throughout history and even now. Please help us also to know that we would rather have this trouble rather than the trouble that comes from being on the wrong side of you. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.